This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Welcome to Life and Faith and another excerpt from John Dixon's new book, Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love and Leadership. Here John quotes Brigadier Wallace, former commander of all special forces in Australia.
Most people want to be led, and there is therefore a natural momentum in favour of the leader. But what continually gets in the way is ego. Where we can't control that, suppress it, then people quickly realise it's about us, and any natural advantage fades and leadership becomes hard work. The real power of effective leadership is maximising other people's potential, which inevitably demands also ensuring that they get the credit. When our ego won't let us build another person up, when everything has to build us up, then the effectiveness of the organisation reverts to depending instead on how good we are in the technical aspects of what we do, and we have stopped leading and inspiring others to great heights. Leading and inspiring others to great heights, says Wallace, come through humility. That's not exactly his word, but it's what he means. The inspiring leader must control his ego and throw his energies into maximising other people's potential and ensuring that they get the credit. When leadership is about us, the organisation reverts to mere operational expertise because people stop believing in the goal. The whole is reduced to the sum of its parts. Conversely, where the leader throws his energy into the organisation and its aims, he experiences that natural momentum in favour of the leader that Wallace speaks of. When I was starting out in my first band at age 16, my musical heroes were the band U2. Ever since their 1982 album October, these four Irishmen represented all that I wanted to do next to playing striker for Manchester United: create music, tour the world, and move people through passionate live performances. When they came to Sydney in 1984, I had to meet them. The problem was no fans were allowed inside their trendy inner city hotel. A friend had an idea. Let's dress up in suits, borrow briefcases, and catch a taxi to the hotel. Perhaps security will think we're staying there. It must have looked ridiculous. A gang of five or six teenagers, thoroughly overdressed, arriving in convoy at one of Sydney's stylish establishments. It worked a treat, though. The doorman peered through the taxi window, opened the door, and escorted us straight past the 200 suspicious onlooking fans right into the hotel lobby. Without a clear plan, we quickly made our way to the restaurant on the lower level and ordered the cheapest thing on the menu, coffee and raisin toast, I seem to recall. We waited. Surely the guys from U2 would have to eat breakfast sometime. We were right, but not before the hotel manager spotted us and made his approach. "Lads," he said as we looked up like rabbits caught in a spotlight, "I've been watching you all morning. I know what you're up to. But I like your initiative. Stay as long as you like." We couldn't believe our ears and ordered another round of coffee and raisin toast. Eventually, the band came down one by one. Bono, the lead singer, took a table just metres from ours. My mates voted that I should go over and ask him to join us for a few minutes. That's exactly what I did. And it's exactly what he did. For what seemed like an hour, but was probably no more than 5 minutes, he signed everything we put in front of him, posed for photos, and answered questions. Questions about songs, the band, their well-publicised faith, the music industry, and so on. The Edge, the guitarist, and Larry Mullen Jr., the drummer, were just as generous when we pounced on them. Looking back, it must have been an annoying interruption for one of the world's most sought-after bands. They would have been well within their rights to fob us off, but they didn't. They were patient, courteous, and surprisingly mild-mannered, especially Larry, who blushed when we fronted up to him. I would have loved U2's music either way, but I doubt they would have had quite the impact on me without this experience. The way they let me and my mates in, gave us time, and treated us like equals instead of fawning fans was hugely inspiring. For a moment, we imagined that we too could go professional, touring and recording full-time. Sure enough, within a few years, that's exactly what we were doing. We never had more than minor musical success, but I can't help feeling that part of the reason we punched above our weight for a decade was a brief moment of humility from our musical heroes. That day helped us to believe that a music career was not just for supermen inhabiting unapproachable glory. It was for people just like us. The inspirational and aspirational effect of humility is real.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.